Get the best odds on all the big games this March. Download the Circa Sports Iowa app today.
Yo, it's the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network. Jared Stansberry here with the Instant Reaction Podcast here on the network. Iowa State with a 62-61 loss down in Lawrence tonight to the Kansas Jayhawks. You can dive all into that one. Some initial thoughts after a really great basketball game at Allen Fieldhouse that unfortunately just didn't go Iowa State's way. Of course, our Instant Reaction Podcast is brought to you by our friends at Carl Auto. The Carl Auto Group got all kinds of new locations with more locations and brands to serve more of Iowa. Of course, they got the new location up in Story City. They've got a location in Marshalltown, the OG locations in Ankeny and Stewart. There's a location in Webster City, one up in Glidden. That's at Carl Auto Group. You can check them out, learn some more about them at carlauto.com. Carl Auto Group, more locations, more brands to serve more of Iowa. Like I mentioned before, Iowa State with a 62-61 loss to Kansas at Allen Fieldhouse. Man, what a game. Iowa State able to jump out and get to a 33-31 lead at the half. And then, you know, a wild final stretch where the Cyclones were down 6 points with roughly 3 minutes to go in the game. You're able to hold Kansas scoreless for about 2.5 minutes to get to the point where the Cyclones could take the lead with 36 seconds to go on a jumper by Caleb Grill. And then a couple of free throws from Ochai Agbaji. Isaiah Brockington comes back to give Iowa State the lead again with 16 seconds left with a jumper. And then DeJuan Harris's floater in the lane, right-handed off the glass, sinks Iowa State in the end. But man, this is a game that it never felt like Iowa State, especially in the second half. You know, the Cyclones had done some good stuff in the first half to be able to get back in front and to take control of the game a little bit, have that 33-31 lead at the half. But right away, you know, you come out, they foul. Jalen Coleman lands on a three-pointer on the first possession. A couple possessions later, Christian Braun gets a wide-open three-pointer. You know, and then all of a sudden you're down by four. That deficit would get to as big as nine. And there were just times where it felt like Kansas had really squarely taken control of the basketball game. But Iowa State just kept fighting, you know, and I think that that's kind of become the hallmark of this team is that they just continue to fight. Really, you know, I think got humbled on Saturday in Norman when they took on Oklahoma. And for that game to end the way that it did, you know, I think you could sense some urgency from this team, as they didn't want to fall into a situation like that one. And it, you know, there were a lot of similarities just in the sense that Iowa State hit some shots that I don't think we've seen them hit at times this year. You know, Tyrese Hunter made a three in the first half. Gabe Kalscher went 4 of 9 from three, made a huge shot late in the game to pull Iowa State within one that set up the Caleb Grill jumper that gave Iowa State a lead. But man, at the same time, it seems like Iowa State just has these things that pop up at just the worst moments, and they're careless things. You know, they're the kind of stuff that Scott and I have talked a lot about on corner three, and it's, you know, live ball turnovers where you throw the ball away in the half court. You know, it's throwing the ball out of bounds. I don't know how many times they did that in the first handful of possessions early in the game. You know, but there was a point early on when I looked at, you know, Kansas was shooting 2 of 10 from the field, and Iowa State had a 1-point lead, and that was not overly encouraging to me for what the direction of the game was going to be, just because, you know, Kansas was never going to be able to – you were never going to come in and hold Kansas shooting 20% from the field. You know, at the end, they shoot 43% from the field and 30% from three. It's a really good offensive team. You knew that was not going to last forever, and Iowa State had not been able to take advantage of it enough to build more than a 1-point lead early in the game. And then, you know, you kind of just got that barrage, and we know how, you know, that building can really start to snowball on you, and once it gets rolling down the hill, it can really get out of control. And this team, you know, never allowed that to happen. You know, they need to be commended for that. It was interesting at the end of the game to see neither coach call their final timeout, trusted their players, and, you know, let them roll. And, you know, I think that you saw both teams make some great plays. Obviously, the shot by Harris was big time. Sometimes someone just makes a play. And then Iowa State got a pretty good look at the other end to be able to try and win the game, a three-pointer from Kalscher. And, you know, it was just off. It was as good as any miss that he had in this game certainly looked. We all know how that can kind of go sometimes with Gabe. But, you know, you get 17 points from Isaiah Brockington. It's been interesting to watch him here so far during league play. It doesn't seem like he has been playing quite as downhill as he had been earlier in the year. It makes you wonder if the athleticism of these Big 12 defenders is cutting off some of those lanes that he had earlier in the season. But his jumper has, you know, really been able to make up for that. And he hit a couple really tough mid-range jumpers here tonight. Finishes 17 points on 6 of 15 shooting from the field, went 5 of 7 from the free throw line, and then 8 rebounds. I mean, if he's not one of the best rebounders in the league, he's at minimum the best rebounding guard in the league. He continues to prove that on a night-by-night basis. Gabe Kalscher had 14 points. Like I said, he went 4 of 9 from 3. It was really good to see him knock down a couple, but, you know, just need to get that thing a little bit more consistent, man. And that has just been a terror for him so far this year is, you know, he'll knock a couple down and look really good, and then he'll come back and hit one off the top of the backboard. Just got to be able to shore some of those things up and get that to where you have a little bit better idea of what's going to happen on any given time. And then Tyrese Hunter, you know, 12 points, 5 of 11 from the field. I thought that Tyrese looked really good playing downhill again today. You can really see, you know, these things that Scott and I have talked a lot about on corner three throughout this year, you know, the things that the stages of development for Tyrese and how he can improve his game and how he can kind of take those steps towards the next level, and really getting into shot blockers and playing with physicality as he attacks the rim. You're starting to see those things come through more and more. I mean, that kid is going to be a really, really good player for Iowa State. He's already a good one, but man, I think he can be a great as he continues to, you know, kind of adapt these things and grow with the game. You got to tip your cap to Ochai Agbaji, 22 points, 8 of 15 from the field, 4 of 8 from 3, 2 of 2 from the free throw line, 7 boards. I mean, that dude's a pro. He's as good as any player in this league. If I had to vote today, he'd probably be my Big 12 player of the year. And it's going to be tough to beat Kansas anytime that he's got it going the way that he did tonight. But man, I've been covering Iowa State. I think this is my ninth year of covering Iowa State basketball, and there's only been a handful of times when they were really able to go down there and, you know, give Kansas a serious scare. You know, the one year when they beat them in 2017, and then, you know, this is as close as I think they've come to winning in Allen Fieldhouse since I've been covering this program, other than that year in 2017. So, disappointing. You know, I don't think anybody expected Iowa State to win when you're going in there. But, man, to see them get as close as they did, I really thought they were going to be able to pull that one out. And it's disappointing to have it go the way that it did. I forgot about the missed goaltend. It's inexplicable to me that we can review all of the different kinds of things that we can in college basketball, you know, where your foot is on a shot like they did with Caleb Grohl's final shot, the review of Robert Jones hitting Jalen Coleman lands in the face. And you can't review that in the final 2 minutes of a game. I mean, that makes no sense, you know, and I think that rule needs to be revisited sooner rather than later. It would have to be in the off season, but that has to change in college basketball. That is too big of a moment. You know, it was too late in the game, too crucial of a shot for them to miss those kinds of things when we have the capability to not miss them. And that's really disappointing. You know, I know people are going to be frustrated. They're talking about getting letters from the Big 12 and stuff like that. Sometimes shit just happens, you know. It kind of is what it is, and it's unfortunate. But, you know, this team probably shouldn't have been in the game to where they were at that point anyway, but they'd kept battling and got their way there. And that's what makes it, I think, a little bit unfortunate to see that game go the way that it did, to see that call not be called, because you feel like it takes the game out of the hands of the kids a little bit. And that's really unfortunate. But an all-time classic, unfortunately, it didn't end the way for the Cyclones. But hey, you know, you get another chance against a really good team on Saturday with Texas coming into town. You know, Hilton's going to be jumping for that one with the fans back, with the students back in the building. And then, you know, you got to go on the road next Tuesday to Texas Tech. You get TCU, Oklahoma State, Missouri. But man, I think that February night in Hilton Coliseum on February 1st, it's a Tuesday night. I would be shocked if this is that's not Pete Kilton Coliseum with the Kansas Jayhawks in town after the way that this game just ended. So you got to tip your cap to the way the Cyclones fought. They gave themselves a really great chance. Chris or Scott and I are going to record a podcast either tomorrow or Friday. Haven't talked about that yet, but we'll probably both go back over the game and come ready for a full hour long podcast and really dive into this game and look ahead to the Longhorns. So thanks everybody for listening to the Cyclone Fanatic Instant Reaction podcast tonight. Hope you guys have a great rest of your week, and we will talk to you guys again soon. Peace.